Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life.
Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Good morning, Pastor Chaco, Parkland, Florida. Good morning to welcome you again to this wonderful time in the early morning hours that we are listening to the Word of God, that we are talking about the ministry of Jesus Christ, starting out after John the Baptist introduced him to the people of Israel and the world. May I have a word of prayer before this? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to your presence. We are hearing the Word of God will be spoken, and help us to understand, help our hearts prepared. In Jesus' name we pray. We talked about Jesus was starting the ministry, but just to recap about what we have spoken about, John the Baptist grew up separate from all the people and lived in the wilderness, preached to the people who came to him and baptized them in the River Jordan. John called them to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. John's message was corresponding to the prophecy of Isaiah, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The voice, one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth." I read from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 to 4, and also it was referred to Luke 3, chapter 3, verse 4 to 5 in KJV, King James Version. Now let us look directly into the book of Isaiah, for he proclaimed God's word. Isaiah, in the peak of his prophetical life, he prophesied. He said, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain shall and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord had spoken." The Lord God Almighty from heaven, speaking through Isaiah concerning the ministry of John the Baptist. The only purpose John the Baptist came was to prepare the way for the Messiah. If he wasn't coming, he was not coming, there is no proof. There is no proof that there was a person came to prepare the way of the Son of God. The Son of God, who was Messiah, who was promised from the ancient of time, from the time Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, where they were going to be expelled. Adam and Eve, as God came and he was a judge. He was also a lawyer. He discussed the sins of each individual. He punished everyone. He punished the snake. He punished Satan's wickedness. And he declared punishment on Satan. That was, the woman's child will come, and he will crush the serpent's head. Head of the serpent. Serpent is ancient of time. Satan is identified as the snake. That serpent of ancient of time, which Bible talks about, is Satan. Nobody else. Now, it's a twin prophecy that it goes towards the snake and also goes towards the Satan as the serpent. See, Satan as the serpent, he stands as the serpent identified as Lucifer, whereas the snake, who is the earthly creature, which is used by Satan as a tool, because he is a crafty creature. The craftiness of the snake has been used by the Lucifer. Now, the snake as the real snake, which is the one who is dragging his body through the earth, creeping through the earth, that it lost its legs. It end up crawling on the earth, eating dust, basically going through the dust. It suck up a lot of dust. But his food is not really dust. That's not what God meant there. that he will be lowered through the dust he has to sow to crawl. That was the punishment snake received. At the same time, the same prophecy goes against Satan as well. This snake, who called the earthly way, the snake can bite a human or a woman's child, and his feet can be crushed, used to he will bite his feet. But the same time, even the woman's son or humans can kill the snake. They hit their head with a stick. You see, that's one of the things happened to the snake. But the other way, the prophecy goes against devil. The same prophecy says, you will touch the feet of the woman's son, but he will crush your head. You see, so we are talking about one towards the snake and one towards the snake, the Satan, Lucifer. Both will be fulfilled by the prophecy of God. God is saying, the son of the woman whom Satan have cheated and deceived, and she, her son, her own son will come to punish the Satan who deceived her. So that was the prophecy God gave concerning the woman's son, or all the human beings who will be delivered by the son of the woman. Now, who is the son of the woman? It's not the son of the man. It was not through a relationship physically between a man and a woman. Normally, children are born that way, right? But Jesus Christ was not born that way. Even though the Jewish nation and people did not investigate all details about the birth of Jesus, but the one who investigated, the one who know, which is the disciples and also the ones who wrote the life of Christ, they found it is true. Everything is true about Christ. Christ was born as the prophecy of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14 says, the virgin shall be with a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. The virgin son, the woman's son, is a virgin's son, not a married relationship with a man's son. It's a woman's son. Jesus is the woman's son, and the same, he is the son of God. The God's spirit fall on Mary, and through the spirit, Christ, the God, the spirit God, entered in her as a little conception has taken place, and he became like a baby and brought up. Now, the story here, history of Jesus and John the Baptist goes along in he proclaiming for the lowliness of human being. You had to be low in your heart. You need to humble. You know, he cried in the wilderness to prepare your heart. It's a preparation. John the Baptist was declaring for the arrival of Jesus Christ, that you should be ready to receive him. John was the only one in history who was filled with Holy Spirit while in the mother's womb. Elizabeth, his mom, was in the Spirit, and John filled with Spirit. At the sixth month of the conception, he grew spiritually strong through his strong association with God. In the wilderness he lived, and at the age he was approved to be a preacher, which is normally 30 in the Jewish tradition, that one can start preaching the law and the books of Torah. And Judea, he went and he kept himself holy by avoiding contact with anything touching or eaten by humans. He lived in the wilderness. He did not even wear clothes. Amen. He ate the crickets. Even today, they say that the Arab nation people eat the chest part of those crickets. And also, John drank wild honey. It was not polluted by any human hand. John has lived as a holy person, not touching anything unholy where any human being touches. He wore the camel's skin and ate locusts and clothes made from the camel's skin. You can read them in the book of Gospels, in the Mark and John and Matthew. Despite the presence of wild desert creatures that could have harmed him in the desert, but they did not. He spent his time with God and proved that the only purpose of his life was to prepare the way of the Lord, the Messiah. Now, John's message of repentance traveled from the desert wilderness to the cities of the villages of Judea through the people who heard them and went to see him. He called them to be repentance, and people heard and came, and he baptized them in the river Jordan. He reminded them about God's judgment on their sins, saying, "And now all the axe is laid unto the roots of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Matthew 3:10. Luke said, "People were waiting in expectation, and they mused in their heart of John, whether he was the Christ or not." Luke 2:15. See, the people were waiting for Christ, Messiah, to come. Well, the Romans were crushing their life. They were paying heavy taxes. They had to work hard, and they didn't have even enough money for food. And the rule of Romans Empire with the iron hands that crushed their life. So they were looking for relief. Then John gave his first rational statement and witness on the coming of Messiah. "I needed to baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I." Amen. And I went through these scriptures earlier, last lectures. Next, what is documented by all gospel writers is the baptism of Jesus Christ in the book of Gospel of Matthew, Luke, John, and Mark. And he declared that he came to baptize by John the Baptist, and John tried to stop him from being baptized, baptizing Jesus. But Jesus said, by this, all the righteousness of God will be fulfilled. Let it be so. So the proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. The heavens were opened as he was baptized and went up straight away from the water. And John saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove on him. Now John testified, Jesus affirming he was the one whom he spoke, the one who was before him, the one who was to come, and the one I am preparing the way for is this person. John declared Jesus as the Lamb of God. John's record shows that he saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. John testified that the one who sent him to baptize in the water said to him, "When you baptize this individual with water, and as I have told John, that upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is the one who baptized with the Holy Spirit." The one who baptized with the Holy Spirit is the Messiah, the only one God the Father has given the power to baptize by the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John bears the record of seeing that this one is the Son of God. So the Father, God who sent John, gave him a sign. When you baptize this person, and with you see the Holy Spirit descending on him and remaining on him, and that person is the Messiah. Praise the Lord. So John's life was not for waste. It is the reality. It's a fact of the truth. It is the Torah and the scripture and the prophets are fulfilling. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilling on the birth and ministry of John the Baptist. The only purpose for his ministry was to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. See, when Messiah's time was a very, very difficult time, that Romans were ruling Israel. Israel was not sure what's going on. Israel was confused. Israel needed help. They needed a king to come and save them. They need somebody to defeat the Romans. But Jesus Christ, the Son of the Holy God, purpose of his first advent of coming to this world was to save them from the sins. Save them from the sins. Jews and Gentiles all alike, all humanity, all have sinned and lost the glory of God. Everyone sinned and they fell away from God. And then God was waiting for the right time in the gospel, in the epistle of Galatians. Apostle Paul writes in chapter 4, verse 14, in the fullness of time, the fullness of time came, then God sent his son through the woman's, as the woman's son, in order to deliver us from the law, from the punishment. The law says you are sinner, you're sinner, you're punished, but the grace, Jesus came, that by grace you will be saved by faith. Because of grace, by faith you are saved. And that is none of yours. It is the gift of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. And as we continue this Herod's illegal relationship with Herodias, his brother's wife, Philip's wife, that Herod Antipas was living with. In a period of time when Philip had to go to Rome, by the command of the emperor, he was there, and this time Herodias, his wife, joined with his brother Herod Antipas. They lived together as a husband and wife without legal permission, and that was sinful. John the Baptist told them about their adulterous life, and they hated him. So they were waiting for an opportunity to kill him. At the time of Herod's birthday, Herodias' daughter Salome made a wonderful, wonderful dance in front of all his guests and dignitaries, Romans and high officials. Everybody was enjoying the dance and having a good party. They were eating and drinking. Herod was in the peak of his drunk, maybe, hopefully, he said, and he said, "Oh, I will give you anything you want. I'll give you half of the country if you like." This was the offer Herod made to Salome. Salome said, "Let me ask my mom." She went and asked the mother, Herodias. She was wicked. She was vicious. She was waiting to kill John the Baptist to get him out of her sight, that he will never say about her sinful life. There you go. The girl comes and said, "Look, I want the head of John the Baptist in a platter." You know, Herod couldn't do anything. He knew John was a prophet. He was afraid of killing him, but because of his word, his power, he said this in front of the dignitaries and higher people of Rome, and everyone wanted to know what he say. Will he do it? He did. He asked to get her the head of John the Baptist. So that was finished. His head was taken out. His body was buried by his disciples. John's head, the platter, was given to Salome. Salome gave it to her mom. And now this was the fury of Salome's mom, Herodias. And that ended that way. And John finished his work. And Jesus came and started preaching. Now if you read Matthew chapter 4 verse 12 onwards, you can see after being tempted by Satan and overcoming Satan's temptations, Jesus came toward Capernaum, leaving Galilee. Matthew wrote in his gospel that Jesus left Nazareth and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, which was at the news of John the Baptist, as we recorded by Matthew, that being put in jail, Jesus began preaching by the lake near Zebulun and Naphtali. It is fulfilling the prophecy by Isaiah again. Another prophecy by Isaiah. The Messiah will be preaching, right? He started preaching even before John was killed. John was just arrested. Land of Zebulun and Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond Jordan, of Galilee, of the Gentiles, people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawn, Matthew 12:15-16, which was prophesied by Isaiah chapter 9, 1 to 2. The prophecy also applies to Isaiah chapter 42, 6 to 7. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be the covenant for the people and light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to free captives from the prison. You see, in this, the light of the world and God, Father, is saying to his Son, Christ, that I will hold your hand, I will keep you, I will make you to be a covenant for people. So as God did, Christ, he became a covenant for us. It's a covenant of New Testament, the covenant of love, covenant of forgiveness, covenant of giving eternal life from the, say, bondage of devil, and the light for the Gentiles. See, Christ was to be born, not only for the Jewish nation, for their salvation, but also for the Gentiles to be saved. Gentiles, we will find light. Oh, Gentiles, rejoice with us, David says in a psalm, and praising God even like thousands of years before the birth of Jesus. So this is what is the, how many prophecies are so far fulfilled on Christ, and the release is that in order to release the people from the dungeon who sit in the darkness. You see, people, all nations, the all kind of people were living in Galilee. They were Gentiles, they were Jews, they were Greeks, they were Latin people from Italy, Rome, and all kind of people, fishermen, markets, different type of markets from every part of the country or world that arrived, materials and stuff sold in Galilee. It was a mixed generation of people. They were living in darkness. God, Jesus, he came to bless them and give them the light. Now we have read that in the Gospel of John, that in the verse 1 to chapter 1, as we read from 35 onwards, we see how Jesus was introduced by John the Baptist to his disciples and they followed him. Now at the end of the chapter 1, you'll see that Jesus Christ already have 6 disciples, and also he was preaching. And the next thing we can see in the John's Gospel is this: Jesus performs his first miracle. The first miracle here documented in Gospel of John chapter 2, it says, on the third day, wedding took place in a place called Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted and the water and had been turned into wine. He said to, he did not realize where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew it. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. You see, the miracle of Jesus performed right here is simply a very very small thing for Christ. You see, the biggest miracle here, what I don't understand, is how the water in the jars become wine as soon as he said that. How did this happen? This is the secret of creation. This is the secret of the miracle of God's power. You see, in the beginning we see that when God created everything, he created from nothing. In the book of Hebrews it says, ex nihilo, everything came from having nothing was there. From zero, the world did not exist when God first created the universe. The universe did not exist. Only heavens, I believe, only the heavens where the third heaven we call, where God lives, that was the only place was there existed. All the other universe did not exist until God called it to be in existence. So this is the Christ. This is just to show to his disciples that he is the Christ. Even though the disciples believed him in his call, in this power of his power, of God's power in him, he calls them and they follow him. That's enough. That's actually was the greatest of one of the miracles, that how would people follow Jesus when he calls them. You see, Christ is the creator of your soul and your spirit. When he calls you, when the owner from the creator calls, that is special, a very powerful impact in your spirit. You cannot stop. You cannot deny. It was written in heaven, considering before the creation of the world, that God will be calling you. And those who preach the gospel and the ministry of God, Jesus Christ, you know, you must know this, your calling is heavenly. As Paul says in one place in the epistle, oh brothers, take heed to your heavenly calling. It is the calling of God. Here I will discuss the wine and how this happening is also in my next speech about this same topic in the next day, next week. May the Lord richly bless you. You are available. If you have to, you can pray that this God, Jesus, powerful creator of the universe, the Son of God who came and gave his life for you to redeem you from the sins, you pray to him today, Father, forgive my sins. Cleanse me, purify me, make me your child. I believe that Son of God, Christ, came and died, lived and died, and buried, resurrected and living for me. In him I put my faith. In Jesus' name I pray. God will save you. You become a new person in Christ. Welcome you. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Hello, this is Pastor Chaco Varghese. I like to repeat an announcement about 3 books available. When You Meet God, second book, Does God Answer Your Prayers?
Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of love.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. And if you have any more questions or if you'd like to contact me and talk more about this subject, please call me at 954-993-0491. And my email address is P like Peter, R like Robert, dot CHACKO, V like Victor, at gmail.com. That is PR dot CHACKOV at gmail.com.
Pastel Brazil Cafe serves fresh empanadas, salgados, and desserts daily, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Located at 8275 U.S. 1, Port St. Lucie. Available at 954-257-4957.
Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere.